Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
So what's happening to Schmangs?
Yeah, what's happening, bro?
What's happening, bro?
Good, man. Good.
What's happening, Vaughn Thiel?
I'm easy, brother. I'm so easy.
Let's say hello to you, a savage in the room next door. Tiwa, are you there? Hello, Tiwa.
Yes, I'm here. How is this Africa now?
She actually has like a British accent, Kat.
Yeah.
Hello, South Africa. How are you doing?
I know that we'd said that Tiwa Savage was going to be on, but then Schmangs was having an awkward moment earlier where he's driving and he has her doing an interview somewhere else. So she's in traffic. I don't know. She may be somewhere. She may not be somewhere. But I do actually feel like this is the perfect opportunity to address committing as a celebrity to like being places on time. Mm. I feel like this is an epidemic.
Yeah, it's actually very frustrating because you'll find that people, the most professional celebs are generally the people that are really, really massive, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
Like, I've never heard of Beyonce or, like, Pharrell being late for an interview or Bonang, for example, being late for an interview. And if they are going to be late for an interview or they can't make it or whatever, they actually notify you, like way ahead. And then you'll find, like, someone who's, like, an up-and-comer and they either rock up late, don't rock up at all. And for me, that just frustrates me to death. I mean, I don't know. What happened with Tiwa?
Tiwa.
But I mean, I would assume someone that massive, you know, has the correct team and the correct structures to
this is
organize
the thing.
Life.
1.3 million followers on Twitter. Tiwa has. I never understand. Like, and it happens a truckload. I mean, that someone doesn't come or does come, whatever. Sometimes producer Kat will say to me, "Let's try and get X person on," and I say, "Cool, let's go for it." But I mean. Don't hold your breath. They'll say yes, but the chances of them being here on time are very, very limited.
Yeah.
And I never understand how people achieve anything in the first place. How do you even build anything if you're not going to be on time and show up and go according to schedule and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think like the first part of anything is showing up, and then the second part is showing up on time. Like, I think that's pretty much the rule of life if you want to achieve something. So it is quite weird that these sort of successful people in their own right are, you know, come late to these things. And it's usually people that are, like, of a creative nature, which is generally the excuse. Like, people will say creatives are late, but I feel like, you know, if you've got, you're at that level and you've got such a, you know, big following, number one. Number two, you surely have a team in place that can help you with things, because obviously things can slip your mind, because you're pretty preoccupied with your actual job. So having to be at other places is not what a normal person's demands are like in their life. So it is a little different. But I do think then, you know, you need to consider that you are not a normal person now, and you are someone that is looked up to and someone that is followed and someone that is appreciated. So your team and whoever else, and the responsibility will always come back to you, because it's your name that gets spoken about, tarnished to a degree if you don't show up. So you gotta clamp down on whoever's responsible for making your bookings and your radio interviews, your TV interviews and stuff, and make sure that it's doable. You know, don't overpromise and don't show up, because it's not good for your brand.
Yeah, and that's really it, man. Because then people will lose trust in you.
Yeah,
and that's the long and short of it. You know.
Yeah.
There's so many musicians whose music I love, but as soon as I'm approached for an interview with them or anything, I actually half of the time turn it down, because I'm just like, you know, will these people even pitch? And that, for me, it drives me mad, because I have spent resources, you know, to get a cameraman. You got to pay the person for that person's time. Sometimes, depending, maybe if you have two shoots, then you have to rent other additional gear. So that comes out of your pocket if someone just decides, oh, sorry, actually, I can't make
it. Not going to rock up. And you're giving them exposure in the first place.
Well, exactly.
Producer Kat, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I actually just wanted to say, I wanted to add to what Vaughn was saying. I don't think it's her fault, because obviously she's not in her country, so she relies on her management to get her to places. Mm. She probably doesn't even know what the schedule is for the day. She just goes where the car goes. And another problem is, I think there was too many people managing her while she was here.
Mm.
So I think that YFM interview was just thrown in there, and they don't know what the traffic is like. They don't know how far Auvergne is from Hyde Park. Yep. You know, so they just do whatever, and then they don't know it's going to take them 45 minutes to get here.
I don't know. For me, that feels like you're just passing the buck there. Honestly, at the end of the day, regardless of whether you are Kim Kardashian or you are Casper Nyovest, at the end of the day, you need to make sure, like, you have the final say on anything that happens in your schedule and in your life. So if you don't rock up because maybe you're in a foreign country, that's bullshit.
Yeah, check this out, right? So yeah, he has a perspective. So a lot of foreign artists and a lot of South African artists, and specifically South African, because I've encountered like a few celebrities in South Africa and have experienced this with them, right? And usually South African celebrities and musicians and actors, whatever, are the first ones to complain when a brand aligns themselves with a international artist, right? Which I get why, you know, but at the same time, sometimes I look at it and I try to be objective because I do support the local side of it. But I look at it and I say, but you know what? The thing is, you know, the way that a Pharrell conducts his life as a professional is very different to the way a South African rapper or artists would conduct their life as a professional with regards to coming to radio stations on time and prepared for interviews, to TV on time, to not drop people last minute, etc. Because he manages himself as a professional, and Woolworths or whatever brand that aligns with them are not a music brand, they're a lifestyle brand. So why not align your brand with someone who lives a professional based like kind of lifestyle, doesn't have the reputation of not showing up and coming late. So that's what frustrates me, because when it comes to we're always quick to say, oh, but what about us? Oh, but what about? But then, you know, look at the intricacies of the difference in the way you handle yourself, and then ask that question again, because at times you could be at some kind of fault, and you need to look into yourself or your team, for that matter, who's not doing what and who's not you know, putting the structures in place for you to be on time and to show up, you know?
Look, I completely understand that it's not a traditional 9-to-5 job. So, you know what I mean? Your working hours are very, very different to the average person. But I was reading an interview that Pharrell did with Fast Company a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And he wakes up, I think it said something like he wakes up at like 5 in the morning and before anything, so he wakes up, he does his like yoga stuff or whatever. But then
of course he does, because I'm happy clap along.
But as soon as he's cleansed his mind and whatever, and he's ready for the world, he spends a solid hour just dealing with emails and talking to his PA and his assistants or whatever.
What he's got to do.
He goes through his day, and that's how he conducts his life. And for me, I feel like Pharrell does that whether he's in LA or whether he's in Tokyo or whether he's in Johannesburg.
He's a business.
Exactly. Mm. And for me, if you went to bed at 3 a.m. because you were shooting a music video too late, or you were performing or whatever, and at 8 o'clock you've committed to doing X, Y, Z, it is up to you to make sure you're there.
Agreed, man.
Simple.
Agreed.
As that.
It's true. I mean, it's surprising. Tiwa's performed, says here, because I had to read the bio in case there was going to be an interview. It says here she shared a stage with 50 Cent. I don't know if he'd be on time. The Black Eyed Peas, well, no one really cares about them anymore. Eminem still sort of relevant. I think Eminem would have been there on time.
Always
Robbie been. Williams, yeah, definitely. Mm. And Destiny's Child.
If they were together, they'd be on time.
Yeah, it doesn't say she's been on Cliff Central yet, though.
Is there anything missing?
I'm not gonna hate it. I mean, I won't put it on her. I know this is sort of like, feels like I'm backtracking what I initially said. I'm not gonna put it on her, because genuinely, yes, I mean, these things do happen.
Yeah.
And I forgive her, because she's hell of a sexy.
There you go.
That's why Schmangs is so disappointed.
Yeah,
bro.
Now I'm thinking, I'm meant to be interviewing her tomorrow for a TV show, and I'm thinking she's gonna be, but it's at the hotel, so she has no choice.
Watch another channel, she might be on there.
Well, likely it's not live, so it's fine.
Okay.
Alright, so listen, while we're talking television, actually, I thought what Live did on Friday night with AKA and Bonang was so smart. We were speaking about this to Jess Levitt, who was also surprised that the ABC still have some brains in them, because obviously they had to do something big, pull Tusi leaves, so they get people on that she has beef with, but also that everyone's like, are they dating, are they not dating? It was a really smart move getting Bonang and AKA on the same show on Friday night.
Absolutely. I'm very surprised that A, they managed to pull that off, and B, both sort of brands, if I can call it that, or both personas agreed to do it. But it kind of makes sense, because Bonang is still part of the SABC family, very much so. And AKA recognizes that a platform like Live, or SABC 1 in general,
the biggest
is
one.
Massive. So kudos to them. I definitely salute that move. It was a boss move. Even though it was just a once off, it was a boss move.
Yeah, I wonder, they've got to do more stuff like that, though.
Yeah, especially because Live, I mean, for me, I'll be perfectly honest, I've only ever watched Live to either go and like support like a friend who is actually performing, or the last time I watched it prop like religiously was when Bonang was still a presenter. And that was like Bonang and Thibaut Tash, God, I think that's maybe like 6 years ago.
And it was because Bonang was a presenter? Or was the content better?
I just hadn't caught on to Vuzu.
Well, okay. Yeah, I didn't have DSTV, so... Vaughn, you watched it, right?
No, I didn't.
You've heard the song, though.
Yes, I heard...
Where? Because he dropped a new song, AKA.
Yeah, one time, yeah. He performed it on Live Amp. Yeah, yeah. I've heard, like, sort of snippets of it. I haven't heard the full song.
Is it dope?
But, yeah, it sounds dope. It's like, a little different to what... to what I think people would expect, but it's cool, man. It's you can see that the kind of sound he's going to be bringing out in this album. It's pretty cool, man. What I think it's you could sing along.
What's the vibe? Is it has he got any featured artists on
it's
it?
No, it's him alone.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not trappy at all. Like I think not at all. Like how the game's sounding now. Yeah. He didn't drop that at all. It's got like almost like a feel good, you know, like cool. A feel good kind of vibe. It's pretty cool.
He's pretty big.
He is, man. I have to hear more of it to like say if I like it or not, but I think it would be received.
I try to get it, but obviously you can't get it anywhere because he just performed it on the show. And you know.
No, I've actually heard that he's not even sure if it'll be released as a single. Like he just wanted to give people something to work with. So he like puts it out, lets you hear it, and then he's going to test a few things until he decides on what he's going to drop.
I think it's very cool that a lot of artists are doing just that, you know, just like they will drop some like music and it might not necessarily be the stuff that you're used to, but it's a good way for them to test the waters.
Awesome.
And Kulichana did that the whole of last year, and I think he's going to continue doing that this year.
Yeah.
Because I think after he got shot by the Popo.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
His like confidence was down. Like if you read like interviews and whatever, he'll tell you that his confidence was down. And then he was checking the scene and he was like, fuck, then this Casper on your vest killing it, and then there's this dude killing it, and
Ricky.
It's like, yes, and then Ricky's killing it. It's like, is there still space for someone like me?
Yeah.
But a good way, really, then is to just put out music and let people hear it.
Yeah,
that cross border collaboration with big artists from whether it's East Africa, or West Africa, or Central Africa, as really
just not Tiwa because you don't know if she's gonna rock up at the studio.
Harry's sour, throwing shade.
Yeah, but it's a good way also to expose your name to other parts of the market.
Yeah. In a real way.
Yeah.
Like I think I agree with you very much there, bro. And I think one thing I like now, and I think more artists should do it. And maybe it is a bit risky because I know how people always are thinking about their brand and the music must be what my brand is. And I think sometimes, to be honest, like it's such an overthought thing. Like I feel like, you know, I know rappers that make hundreds of songs a year, bro. Like they literally, for an album, you'll probably make 100 songs and you'll select your 20 after A&R and whatever else you do, you maybe just what's vibing right now. And you know how many times it happens where an artist makes a song and then, like me and Schmangs are rappers, I'll make a song, I'll call it something, the next thing Schmangs drops a song tomorrow that's the same name as my song. You know, that happens so often. So you've got to always be changing stuff, right? But what the only thing I think is missing from South African hip-hop at the moment, I think it is going that way now, after building on to from what you said, is like use your SoundCloud a lot more. Put out songs that you've made, like you made on a weekend, you really love the vibe, everyone in the studio was feeling it sounds different to what you usually do, you know, it's a different side to you, maybe you're singing on it, maybe you know, whatever it may be, put that onto SoundCloud and just put it out there for the people to consume. You don't need to be too concerned about what music you put on a thing like a SoundCloud, because it can be an expressing a side of you, you know. So I think that creates like a nice authenticity and also like a little bit of a relationship with your fans, apart from dropping your singles, you know.
But if you're a massive artist like Beyonce or Rihanna, you can't actually afford to to not get it right, if that makes sense. You can't afford to maybe put out like to be too experimental. Maybe let me just put this out to give it to the fans to hear. I would assume. I think for someone who is still sort of developing,
climbing,
and still climbing, and although you might be the biggest artist on the African continent, you know, the world still needs to hear your music, and so you can still experiment. But I think I really feel like if Beyonce put out a trash song on her own SoundCloud or
website,
I feel you there.
Would. Perhaps you make songs for SoundCloud and you make singles.
Like the rough cuts.
If you treat it like that, like, okay, this track, guys, I think it's a SoundCloud track. Let's put it out, you know?
Do you know
more
what?
Of that.
You know what I don't get, though? I don't understand why people are even still making albums. Like, if I'm being really honest, I really don't get it. If I was an artist and I was trying to break in, the last thing I'd be thinking about was 12 tracks for an album. I would be thinking about one song. But then because you need one song. And then you can, because a lot of artists you meet, people that are up and coming, are like, I'm working on an album, I'm working on a this. Mm. If I was trying to break into music, which I am, my rap EP will drop in October. The Kel
major
tape.
Key. Yeah. The
major key, bro. And so, I mean, in a personal capacity, I'm just working on my one song, Swaggy Jaggy.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, it's one song. I don't understand people breaking into music that want to make albums and that kind of thing, because it's one song that you need
to
start the fire.
Oh, if you're an up-and-coming artist. So not someone who's established.
Yeah. Listen, okay, if you're established, you're going to get a fan base who's going to listen to the 10 tracks. Then you're going to get the majority who's going to listen to like one or two. Because I haven't listened to an album in a really long time. I appreciate for me, Life of Pablo, fantastic that Kanye did it. I love the way he did it. I didn't download Tidal. I haven't heard the album. If there was a single on radio, he would have gotten me, the end user commercial person.
I see what you're saying.
So this idea of albums and that kind of thing, I feel like artists are kind of still really latching onto this, and I don't know how much of a model that is. Maybe they'll bring it back, because they seem like they want to force people to bring it back. So Kanye, I don't even think there is a lead single off of Life of Pablo. So artists are like trying to force people to come back to listening to everything, but it's just not where I'm at.
Like Kanye's never gonna drop a single off that thing. He's never gonna make an album with it. Nothing. He's told.
He can't even buy it.
He's like you're not gonna have. It's not gonna be on Apple. It's not going to be a CD, nothing. Like, he's never doing that.
So he's lost me. I still want the Yeezys, but he's lost me.
But you see, the thing, what I agree with you in a way, Ari, I think, though, as a musician, you always want to make some sort of body of work, because it's kind of like
your legacy.
Your painting that's finished now, type of thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do agree with you in a way whereby I think your statement when you said focusing on that one song, as opposed to the entire album, is vital.
Yeah, because honestly, there is no Casper Nyovest without Doc Shebeleza.
Exactly.
There would have been none. Mm. There would have been no Ricky Rick without Boss Zonke.
Exactly.
There would have been no AKA MT with without Congratulate. There would have been no Nasty C without, what was the
Juice
first
back,
single?
Juice Back.
And
Roll Up.
So, like, if you've got a month to spend as an artist, why not spend a full month getting that hit single as opposed to doing a track every 3 days? That's what I don't get.
I agree, and I think that's exactly where AKA hit the nail on the head with Levels, because from Alter Ego to Levels, he took 3 years to drop an album,
and it was just singles.
And off Levels, 11 tracks, 7 number one singles. So what he did there was exactly what you're saying now. And that's why he takes so much time, because he focuses on like every single song. Will it be a single? Will this be a hit? And then he puts all his effort into that, as opposed to the body of work. Collects like a really good batch of music that he's put out, like with a single feel, and that's done well. And then he puts it in an album and he sells it, because he knows out of those 7 number ones, there's enough people to buy that album.
But I would imagine though, I mean, so you take it from an end user perspective, and it makes sense that you just want to get maybe one or two songs or maybe 3 singles, right? But if you the actual musician, I would imagine that you actually also really enjoy the creative process of putting an album together.
But you need food, bro.
For sure, but you're still doing your shows.
Yeah.
You know, your single or whatever is still doing well on
you
radio.
You need the single.
So you definitely, I mean, I'm not saying just put out an album for 10 years. No, I mean, but I do think that you enjoy the entire process of making an album. And that's part of the artistry, I think. At least that's based on my interactions with musicians. Because you'll talk to someone and be like, they're like, yeah, I'm working on an album, blah, blah, blah. And you're thinking, why in this day and age when maybe out of your entire album, people are only going to listen to 20%
of it? Also, I guess it helps you get better at your skills, because more you do, the more you know what works, what doesn't work, so you get 12 opportunities to hit and miss. But it is a very singles-driven world now.
Yeah.
It is, and I think, you know, I think that the way albums are made should be changed up. Like, I'm still waiting for an artist and you know, shout out to whoever might be doing it. But, like, what about, like, instead of selling a CD, like, why don't we start selling albums on USB sticks? Like, you open up your little box and you get a little USB stick, and
that's
Kanye's album.
Corner of William Nichol.
Because you know people are going to burn and cut your stuff anyway. I'm just looking for new creative ways to, like, spin this whole thing. Like,
I think it's lifestyle. I think Kanye gets this so right, because he actually doesn't need that album to be a success.
No, he doesn't care.
Because the brands around him are just what kills it. It's the shoes, it's the clothing, it's the everything else that he touches. The stuff that you can't, well, I mean, there's 3D printers, and one day they'll be able to make my Yeezys. But until then, like, this music thing is dead.
Shots.
It's yeah. brand. It's got nothing to do with album sales.
But if you sell, you're very right. If you can sell lifestyle, if you can, you know what I mean? So what he's done there is managed to package what it feel like to be Kanye West, mm. essentially. And I think a lot of artists have definitely caught onto that. Mm. Locally, you look at someone like Ricky Rick.
Yeah, with the vest and
yeah,
stuff. Yeah,
with the vest and with everything. He is selling a lifestyle. Even now, when he announced last week that he won't be selling his music on iTunes or Apple Music or any other platform ever again, he can only get it from Ricky's website.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he said...
No wonder I couldn't find Lukutini on Simfa.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to go to RickyRickWorld or whatever .com, but that's really it. Like, he is selling lifestyle, and so yeah. when you book Ricky Rick for a show, you know that you are getting this dude who's into high fashion, but also is a musician and is this and is that, and then you buy that lifestyle, and you yeah. buy what it would feel like.
I
experience
think, like,
Ricky Rick.
Shmangs is so right, and like you know it's crazy because I've been like such a hip hop head for so many years. Like, I follow quite a lot of even underground artists in the States, and you know, just seeing how guys push their own hustle, how they're making money without mm-hmm. being mainstream at all. Right, some of their music is radio worthy, or some of their music would be really smash hits in the clubs, but they don't do it that way. So like, what these dudes do is exactly what Ricky's kind of done. In South Africa, we're only starting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these dudes, They got their own little studios, their own crews, they record their music, they do whatever they have to do, they put it on SoundCloud, they put it out for free, they download their tapes off their own individual websites, and they don't really make money from anything that they sell that's music. But what they do is they create this fan base, and this sort of, they, people buy into the culture that they're selling, and then they go to, like, they booked out from, I'll call it, April to December, every single weekend in every different state in America, because they've developed that fan
base.
Because they put the product out there and it was accessible.
Yeah.
Now they get paid for days, bro, for every single show they do, sold out. So some of them are millionaires.
You're right.
And they you will never hear of them.
I mean, look at Future. Future was massive in Atlanta before we even knew about
Future.
Yeah,
he was balling.
He's like a god. He's still like a god when he goes to Atlanta now. But he was like a multi-millionaire just in his hometown.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely the way to go about it, because if you look at Tia, you know, you've got the Rickies of the world, but then you look at a guy who did that model really well. It's like Big Nas and DJ Tira, with, you know, that whole
Durban thing,
you know, what I mean? Where they have a solid Durban following, and regardless of where they go, you know what I mean, and that's still very much part of their identity, and their fan base is very, very, very much from there.
Exactly. So, if I ever give a musician advice, like any rapper that I know, I say to them, let me tell you something. Focus your effort on building a culture instead of building good songs. Because if you build the culture, you're going to be loved forever.
Yeah.
You drop a couple of good songs, you drop your next album's whacker than your first, people are liking you for what they heard. They didn't like you for you and what you're selling. Mm. You get what I'm saying? So, change up your approach and you'll find the formula.
I mean, if I were to ask any of you guys, have you listened to the entire Refugio album?
It's garbage, bro. I didn't like it.
I skipped through majority of it.
Me too.
But I have it. You know what I mean? I went and I bought it on iTunes because I was really
curious.
But
you won't do that again.
Will you easily buy
probably
the next
not.
One? Exactly.
Probably not.
Exactly with me. Solofelo, I liked it. I thought because he had some hit songs, great songs. Yeah. You know, I vibed to those songs. I really liked him. Then I was like, okay, Refugio might be the same. Maybe he got the... I listened to it and I was like, yo, I hear misses, yeah. Lots of misses. Mm. Now the third album, I'm going to think twice before I download it. I might not even download it.
Yeah. There are artists that you know, regardless of what you... Because you're a fan, a loyal fan,
I'm
gonna
buy it.
Like,
yeah.
Erykah Badu, I bought that her mixtape last year. Like, without thinking. And then I listened to it and I was like, thank God.
What
it's
is this?
Just as amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you liked it. Okay.
The culture, the creative culture around what they do, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, this has been so, Producer Cat, I'm sorry we didn't speak about the fact that Mrs. South Africa is now Mrs. World.
You know who's Mrs. Ismail Abraham's wife? You know?
It's not from Metro.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
His wife.
So now she's Mrs. World. Because we had a Mrs. South Africa. She went to the Mrs. Global competition.
Oh,
she's now Mrs. World.
Yo.
But that wasn't the
and
topic.
And she's Mrs. Abrams.
No, it says here.
Why is the pageant even still relevant?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is wasting our money and our eyes.
There you go. Okay. Well, well done to Mrs. World. Nice one.
Yeah,
all right. That there's the GRT. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.